Hey folks, before we start this week's episode, we gotta tell you about this special event coming up June 20th at 9 p.m. at Naked City Brewery and Tap House in beautiful Seattle, Washington. That's right, Air Raid Live number 2, featuring comedian Alicia Sanchez, Mikey and Maddie, and Pickwick, man. It's gonna be so much fun. We had a great time last year, it sold out super quick, so get on it. Go to brownpapertickets.com, type Air Raid Live into the search bar, and you should find it right there. Or you can visit www.air-raid.net, click on this episode's blog, and find the link. Buy your tickets. They're $12 in advance, $15 at the door. Let's get started with the show. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 251 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom indeed, folks. Boom indeed. We've got a great show planned for you this week. Sadie Dupuis of the band Speedy Ortiz will be joining us here shortly. Had the honor and the pleasure of going down to Barboza on Capitol Hill here in Seattle, and going down to the club and interviewing or chatting with Sadie of the band. It was a fantastic chat. We talk a lot about ghosts, man. She is relatively obsessed with ghost stories. And it's a really fascinating conversation. Super, super stoked to bring you this one. Also stoked to bring you some new music by the band Speedy Ortiz, man. I've got to say, and this is coming from the heart, this is one of my favorite albums of the year already. It's gonna go straight into the top five, man. This album, Foil Deer, which is out now, you can get it at your local record stores, or you can go to speedyortiz.com and get it there. The album is amazing. It's fucking fantastic. It's everything that I would want in a rock album, man. And you'll find out why here in just a little bit, because we're going to be featuring it throughout the episode. Speedy Ortiz is also on tour right now. And let's see, if you're listening to this the day that it comes out, June 1st, they're going to be at Rose Music Hall in Columbia, Missouri. June 2nd, Firebird, St. Louis, Missouri. On the 4th at UFO Factory, Detroit, Michigan. In Toronto, Canada, at the Horseshoe Tavern on June 5th. Montreal, Canada, at Le Ritz PDB June 6th. And then in New York, Pier 84 on July 9th. So catch these guys live, man. Oh, my God. Such a fantastic show. It was great to see them in Seattle. And like I said, it was an honor to get to meet them and chat with them while they were here. I'm sorry. I got sick again. I don't know what's going on, man. I've never really suffered from, what do you call it? Allergies? I've never really had allergies before. But for some reason today, I woke up just totally congested, head hurt, you know, and nose leaking like a sieve, and I'm just sneezing constantly. So if that happens during this little talking fest that we're having with you, then excuse me. I apologize. Had another great thing happen last night. Went out as part of the show TBTL, Too Beautiful to Live. Another great podcast. They had the listeners gathered at Patty Coins, I believe it was, down there on the waterfront in downtown Seattle. And I chose to go to that and see a couple people that listened to this year's show. So Mike Frizzell and Jeff and DJ and Nick and Nathan, So good to see you guys last night, man. That was super, super fun. One thing that was like really made me feel really good is that you guys all know, if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, you know that we had John Spencer of the John Spencer Blues Explosion on the show, let's see, a couple episodes ago. And I didn't feel great about how the conversation went. Buddy Nick, listener Nick, was like, dude, that was a great episode. I thought it was super fascinating, and don't get down on yourself for it. It sounded good. So I was like, oh man, thanks, dude. That makes me feel really, really great about it. But then I started thinking about it on my drive home, and I was like, no, I'm still kind of down about that. I'm the eternal pessimist, people. I'm the eternal pessimist. If you'd like to hear more of me talking at you, you can also tune into the Stack of Dimes podcast, which is one of my favorites. I went on there a couple, a couple days ago, and just chatted about Mad Max, man. The new movie, Fury Road. Had a great conversation with my close friend, Camaro Kev, over there on the show. So you guys should check that out as well. Man, I'm listening to myself right now, and I sound a little congested. This is not good. I've been sick for like 3 weeks now. It's not going away. This is awful. Damn it. And it's getting so nice out, too. Jesus Christ. Okay. Hey, live show. Like the pre-roll said, live show's coming up. We are now over half sold out on the live show. Get your tickets. Go to brownpapertickets.com. Type Air Raid Live into the search bar and get them now. Coming up June 20th, man. It's going to be a great show. Remember, it sold out last year, and we had a great time. Went for a little after-party doings after the show. This year, it's going to be the same thing, man. Not the same show, of course, but it's going to be even bigger and better. Let's see. Who do we have on the lineup here? Comedian Alicia Sanchez, super, super funny comedian from here in Seattle, going to be joining us on stage, doing some stand-up for us, and then sitting down for a chat. We're also going to have Mikey and Maddie, one of my favorite Seattle bands, out there. And then, of course, to close out the show, we got Pickwick, Michael and Galen of Pickwick. We're going to play a drinking game with them on stage, with your participation. So you want to be in this audience. So go to brownpapertickets.com, or you can check the show blog and click the link there. And tickets are $12, or they're $15 at the door if there's any left. So might as well get on it, right? You're saving money by buying your tickets now. That's what I'm saying, people. All right, let's do this. June 20th at Naked City Brewery in Greenwood, Seattle. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope to see you there. Okay, let's go with our first musical break. And when we get back, we'll be talking with Sadie Dupuy of this awesome band, Speedy Ortiz, man. My new favorite band. I swear to God, it's going to be yours too. So check this out. Album's Foil Deer. Go to speedyortiz.com. Find out more where they're going to be on tour. They got a long way to go. So, all right, this song is called Raising the Skate, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us.
Heaven, have mercy on the hypnic jerk. You're blamed for your speech. Walk around the block again. Wait till I feel cool and straight. With a diaristic bent on undertaking. Your own reflection. tiptoe until it's soaked and freezing. But just because I let you kill time dangling me from the quarry doesn't mean that I won't land on my feet.
Wow, so there's like a whole campaign. There's a whole campaign.
The like number of cases of syphilis in the past like 10 years was like quadrupled or some shit. What? It's real. That's not syphilis, that's chlamydia.
Wait, what did you say?
All the koalas have chlamydia.
Koalas?
Like 80% of koalas have chlamydia and they're like gonna die.
Really?
Yeah.
And they die from it?
Sometimes, or they are left sterile.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Koalas are in trouble.
Interview over. That makes me sad.
I know.
That's not a good thing.
Yeah.
I hope the kangaroos are okay.
I don't know if they're cohabitating too much.
They both have, just live in the same
place. Just
because
they both have pockets. Like...
Wait, does a koala have a pocket? I don't know if a koala
maybe
has
a pocketbook.
Pocket.
Koalas are marsupials.
To fit their anti-chlamydia drugs.
they have a pouch.
Oh, starting off with a bang.
Yeah, this is a good one so far. Crazy interviews today.
How many have you done today, by
just
the way?
Just two. This is two.
Just two?
I think.
Well, you guys were at KXP.
Oh, three. Right? This is the third today, then.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Are you tired?
Yeah.
Are you done with
but
this?
But mostly just tired because we overate.
Okay. And it smells like Mexican.
And then we didn't sleep. Yeah, well, there's salsa that I've been eating.
Oh, okay.
I'm continuing to overeat.
I read a tweet recently, maybe within the last couple days that you posted that said it's, 12 weeks in or something like that in 6 showers?
No, not 12 weeks.
Not 12 weeks?
Like 6 weeks.
Okay, 6 weeks
and I'm
in.
Like 6 showers in.
Yeah, 6 showers in.
I do like, you know, every like 5-6 days a shower.
Yeah?
So.
What do you guys have? You guys have to stop at like rest stops and
no,
do your things there?
We stay at friends' houses and
yeah?
We shower there. On the rare night we have a hotel that's usually like everyone tries to shower.
Uh-huh.
Because those have good water pressure, typically.
That's always a bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get the dirt off.
I took a freezing cold shower. At some point on this tour, in where is Breaking Bad? Albuquerque, freezing cold shower. But I was, it was so many days that I just had to do it. Woo!
Yay!
YOLO!
I don't know if that would be one of the reasons why I would never be able to be in a touring band.
I do this anyway when I'm home.
You do it anyway.
This is
that's
just like how
you just,
often I
you follow
maybe
through.
Like 4 days when I'm home.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm not very sweaty. My hair doesn't like really need to be washed very much.
Oh man, I become a grease ball.
But part of the reason why you become a grease ball is because you're probably showering more than like your body needs, so it's overcompensating by like making more oil because you're stripping it of its natural oils.
Yes, somebody has told me that before,
yeah.
And I don't know how long. How long can I go? Like, because I'd need to, like, take, you know, like, a week off of work.
No, just like, you know, if you shower every day, like...
Yeah?
Do one day of a showering without any soap or shampoo.
That's a good idea.
Or, like, you know, just take a day off.
There
it's,
you go.
It's better for... It's actually... I can't believe I'm getting into an anti-showering lecture. It's better for
like
your
you said,
skin
weird,
because of
weird
the positive bacteria that's on your skin.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have the chance to, like, properly... maintain its levels if you're using soap on yourself every day. So I think ideally you're only supposed to like shower every 2 or 3 days, and your hair you're supposed to wash like once a week.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That just blew my mind. One thing it made me
got
think
some
of is like
tendencies. But
I don't wash my face anymore.
Mm-hmm. And your skin's probably better.
Yeah, it's totally better. Yeah.
A lot of people like stop washing their skin and just treat it with like olive oil, and it's supposed to be great for your skin.
I don't know if I'm going to go that route.
The problem for me is I like am inclined towards these hippie tendencies, but I love any sort of like hygienic product. So I love like different kinds of face washes.
Yeah.
So I wash my face twice a day, but I shower like once a week. So it's a bit at odds.
You said you have these hippie tendencies. Did you grow up with a hippie mom and dad?
Not at all. I just like stopped eating meat when I was 10. My parents did not really know what to do with that.
Yeah.
I'm a vegan and I've been raw vegan and I don't know.
You're raw vegan now?
Not now.
Not now?
If I was, okay. I wouldn't be eating all these tortilla chips.
That's true. Yeah.
But I like health food stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Hippie.
So did you become, you became a vegan at a very young age?
I stopped eating most meat when I was 10.
Yeah?
Became vegan when I was 16.
Wow.
Now I'm 26.
So good job.
10 years in.
Sticking with it.
Yeah. I've had some lapses, but fairly brief.
Yeah. I had a roommate that was a vegan in college.
Yeah.
And he used to deep fry everything. Everything was tempura. And he was a very messy man. And I've told this story before, but I walked into the kitchen one night. It was about 3 a.m. to get a glass of water. And there was so much oil all over the floor that I slipped fell on my back. And it was like one of those moments in like I was the arch villain in an 80s comedy movie where I was just screaming his name, holding my fist in the air. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a, veganism hasn't done much for you then.
No.
Other than caused you to fall in a bunch of oil.
Sadie Dupuis, is that how you pronounce the last name?
Yes, that's it.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that French?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think the spelling is French. It comes from like Quebecois spelling.
Okay.
So like a pretty common name, but there's like four different spelling variations depending on which French speaking place you
yeah. You've ever searched back your heritage to kind of
yeah,
figure that stuff out?
Yeah, they're Quebecois. I think French and then French-Canadian, and then I think the Dupuis were in New Orleans for a second. Like Cajun.
That makes a lot of sense.
My particular branch, at least.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Of Speedy Ortiz, you guys are playing Seattle tonight.
True.
I've been listening to Foil Deer nonstop for like 2 weeks. And I want to marry that album.
Whoa!
And I'm sure that you know somewhere in the United States that's legal.
Well, actually, we made Foil Deer rings, and
you
I'm
did?
Not even joking. They're at our merch table.
Really?
So if you like it, then you could put a ring of it on it. Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
Beyonce. Yeah.
I'm very proud of myself right now, actually.
So
killing this interview.
Yes, you are. Where do you come from? Where do you hail from?
Sadie? The band is from Massachusetts.
Right.
I'm from New York.
New York and split between New York and Connecticut, right?
At some point, yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of reading your bio a little bit earlier, and
you get any dirt?
No, not really. Not really. Shucks. There's not too much out there on you yet.
I worked very hard to.
Keep
my
it under
tail
wraps.
Out of the mainstream media.
Well, there's the whole thing about dropping out of MIT.
Mm-hmm, that's
being,
true.
Being into math.
Yes.
And then there's living in Connecticut with your mom. Your father lived in New York.
Yeah.
As well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, when I looked at whenever I see the word Connecticut, I just think of like ghosts. And
oh, do you know about Dudley Town? Is that why you know think
yes.
about ghosts?
Yeah,
Dudley Town's
I know about,
like my favorite thing in the world.
I know a little bit about Dudley Town, but there's the new movies that are out, like a haunted house in Connecticut or something like
well,
that.
Well, because the Warrens were
yes,
the Warrens are actually from the town that Mike is from. They're from Trumbull, I believe, right?
I thought they were from Monroe.
Oh, they're from Monroe. You're right, but it's close.
Okay, well, I was totally wrong because I thought they were from New Haven for some reason. But
it's
anyway,
close. It's
yeah.
close to that.
Is that
yeah.
are they all kind of grouped? Those towns are kind of grouped together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Get on the mic. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Mike. I play drums in Speedy Ortiz, and I'm from Connecticut. And I've never met the Warrens or anything.
One of them's dead.
Oh, well, they used to go to schools, and while they were alive, they used to come to colleges and high schools and
give
do like
speeches, right?
Yeah, and give speeches and seminars and assemblies or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
And the Heirloom Arts Theater is actually, they saw ghosts there and took a picture of it, which is a place that we played before.
Yeah, it's like an all-ages DIY.
Yeah.
Really?
Art space.
They took a picture of a ghost in the basement there once.
You seen the picture?
No, I haven't. But people saw it and they were like, dude, it's haunted.
I believe that it's Ed and Lorraine, right? Are those their names?
I think so.
Ed is dead, as the Pixies told us. Lorraine is still living, and I think she lives in their house, and it has a bunch of the artifacts from like different I don't know what to say, expeditions.
Sure, and that's where that scene in that what's the movie? It was kind of a rehashing of the Amityville horror.
Haunting in Connecticut.
No, not that one.
Well, they
not
have a number
one.
Of cases that have been turned into movies, but
yeah, it's the one that came out a couple years ago. Oh shit. I've had this problem before where I can't remember the name of that movie.
There was a
haunting. But I think it's just a haunting.
Haunting in Connecticut, right?
No. There's no Connecticut involved with it.
Okay, because there was one that came out.
I think it's The Haunting.
The Haunting?
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Super good.
I've seen a couple. I don't think I've seen that one. But I've seen a couple like Warren movies.
But they go to their house, right?
Okay.
The family goes to their house. And they have, like, their whole room that's filled with, like, the evil...
Is this the movie that's specifically about that couple? Because if so, maybe I have seen it.
It might be. I don't know if it's specifically about the Warrens, but it shows the Warrens getting involved.
Cool.
Right? And it's basically a remake of Amityville.
Okay.
Because it was about that house.
Yeah.
And they've got the doll in the case
and
stuff
doll,
like that.
I was going to say, that, like, that's in their house still. She lives upstairs and all the... Downstairs is a museum. And Mike's old bandmate lives pretty close to it and is always trying to get us to go there because apparently if you touch the doll, like, you will die. They're like, don't touch it. You can see it.
Do you guys believe in that?
It's fun, too.
There's a couple I showed. I think it was on Super Bowl Day 2014. Yeah. I showed you a couple of things like Hannah Crana's tombstone, which is pretty close to where I grew up. And it has two death dates on the tombstone in the tombstone exists outside of the rest of the cemetery, right next to the road, because the legend is they had to bury her twice.
They did. Well, the story of Hannah Crana, she's the White Witch of what town?
I don't remember.
White Witch of Seymour, I think.
Okay. And that's Connecticut as well?
It's Connecticut as well. It's all in the same area.
Dude,
and she's a pretty famous witch. She had like a rooster that people would set their clocks by in like the whole part of the state because it was never wrong. And she was a baker as well, I think, but she was basically viewed as a real witch, and she could put a hex on someone in the town. She could also heal them. And when she died, she had very specific, and I guess her rooster was her familiar. And when she died, the rooster stopped crowing at the perfect time, and she had very specific instructions for how she was to be buried. She was supposed to be buried, carried like a certain way, and it was snowing and she lived up on a hill, so they basically made her coffin a sled and were bringing it down that way, and something like kept happening where the thing would like go back up the hill until they carried her down the proper way, and the reason that the two death dates exist is actually, it's disappointing to learn, she didn't die twice, it was the winter when she passed away, and they just don't know like when exactly she died.
Okay.
It's assumed that she was found
December 30th, or might have been on
your birthday.
Right.
Yes, or it's just that they didn't keep like great death records then, so and they couldn't bury her until it thawed. So yeah.
Wasn't she?
Oh, and her house set on fire. That's the.
Just gonna say that.
Are we allowed to cuss on this?
Yeah.
That's the fucking thing. Her house set on fire. You want to tell it? It's her when they as soon as they were burying her whole house set on fire, spontaneously.
That's
the story of Hannah Crana. And this, my fun, like, well, Mike showed me this grave and the legend of Hannah Crana.
I also showed you Dracula Drive.
Right, Dracula Drive is actually a legend that occurs in multiple states with variations. That's an Ohio thing, too.
Yeah.
But, what was I? Oh, the Hannah Crana thing. I Well, you read up on me. So I got an MFA in poetry, and I used to do poetry readings. And I did this one reading where the people who were introducing all the poets, like, just read totally wacky biographies that had nothing to do with them. And they were reading my biography, and I was listening to it, and I realized it was The Legend of Hannah Crannah. And they had no idea I was in the Hannah Crannah. But they were just like, Sadie Dupuis was the White Witch of Seymour. She had a rooster as a familiar.
Dude.
Like, Sadie Dupuis could not be buried, so she
There's
has
something
two
in that. Dates. There's something in that,
Whoa.
Sadie.
Maybe I'm Hannah Crannah reincarnated.
Reborn.
Mike is the rooster.
So what? When did you...
Nice.
When did you move over there?
To Connecticut?
Yeah, yeah.
My mom moved up there for middle, like when I went to middle school.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. So did you start hearing all these stories and stuff about like ghosts and witches?
Yeah,
and,
I got
and
into
everything?
The Dudleytown thing first.
Really? At like a young age?
Yeah, like middle school. I mean, the part of Connecticut where she lives is like very northern, rural, just woods upon woods.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of local legends like that. Like Dudleytown is considered by the Warrens to be like the most haunted place on earth.
Yeah.
And there's a number of books about it. And my mom teaches in the town where Dudleytown is.
Oh, she's a teacher.
Yeah, she's an art. She teaches art.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So we would go to Dudleytown and like try to, I don't know.
Well, I thought it was closed off. Pictures.
It is, and that's why the police would show up.
Oh,
so,
really?
My only run-ins.
Did you ever get arrested for that?
No, but police would show up, and they'd be like, "You're a 14-year-old. Like, what are you?"
Really?
I think when they realize that you're like not trying to do drugs or do sex, you're just like a total loser who wants to take pictures of ghosts, and you're like 14. Like,
yeah, yeah. So, did your obsession with like that kind of thing start when you moved up there? Or had it been?
I think I've always liked that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, it's fun.
You know, like all horror movies, or just like kind of ghost.
I don't like any faces popping out. Other than that, I like everything.
Faces popping out.
You know what I mean? Like when a terrifying ghoul face just pops out of nowhere with like a loud thump and.
Like zombie movies and stuff like that.
No, like The Grudge. I can't handle The Grudge.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, shit like that.
I never saw that one, but I did see The Ring.
I'm picturing it and getting upset. The Ring has some stuff like that. I can handle The Ring though.
Yeah.
I've never seen like the Japanese original. That might be scarier.
Ringu.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never saw that one either. And but I do remember seeing The Ring when I was in college and being totally freaked out.
See, I remember seeing The Ring and being like totally fine, except I was home alone at like my stepmom's.
Yeah.
And the phone rang. While the phone was ringing in the movie, like letting them know they're going to die. Yeah. And after that, I was freaked out. But I even saw the Ring sequel with the thing that was scariest to me in the Ring sequel was there's one scene with like a million deer.
Right.
You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And where are you from?
Here.
You're from here.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if like deer all over the roads is a common thing here.
Not in Seattle proper.
Mm-hmm, but outside.
But you can go outside of Seattle just a couple miles and you can see stuff like that, yeah.
But, like, rural Connecticut, anywhere you drive, you're very likely to have a deer just, like, fall on your car. Just, like, jump off a cliff and land on your car. It's happened to me. Happened to all my friends.
Really?
So that was, like, the freakiest part of the Ring, too,
like,
for
me. A deer actually fell off a cliff and hit your
car?
They
just, like, are jumping from a cliff onto the road, but, like...
What?
Yeah.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
That's scary shit.
It was scary.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I've hit squirrels.
Yeah, deer is a tough one.
But a deer, man, that would really...
It walked off.
That would ruin me.
But there was... when I got out of the car, there was like blood all over the hood and hair stuck in the hood ornament.
Oh, my God. That's sad. That's sad.
It's a pretty common thing.
I think I would... yeah, well, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I love horror movies. I love gore.
I really like any kind of like torture porn style stuff. I'm fine with
into it.
It's okay. Super violent. I'm like totally cool with. Doesn't really bother me. Just like any scary face popping out,
like the real frightening stuff where it's
really just if there's like a scary face.
Okay, what'd you think of Babadook?
The Babadook. I was finer than the one scene where the Babadook's face is above her bed.
Yeah.
And
that was creepy.
I actually had to go back and Google that scene because I wanted to know what the face looked like.
Chills.
And it's just a child's face, face painted.
Oh.
But it's just so scary.
Well,
it
see, that's what
so
makes
briefly.
It. That's what makes it super creepy.
It is
a kid's face.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I saw one of my daughter's faces painted like that, I'd be like, you know what, adoption.
Yeah,
it's done.
Yeah, get out of here. I love the Babadook. I saw Unfriended twice on this tour.
Unfriended.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, you might like it. It's really silly. It's the concept is that a girl commits suicide because of cyberbullying.
Oh,
on the year anniversary of her death, the six friends who sort of cyberbullied her are all Skyping. And she is like a ghost in Skype and on Facebook and in Spotify and like drives them all to kill themselves in
so it's
crazy
kinda like,
ways.
Kind of like Record or...
I haven't seen Record, but I know what you're talking about because I've read
VHS
everything.
VHS or something like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's
totally.
Like, you know, quote unquote found footage.
Right, right.
But it's pretty funny. It's good.
I'm going to have to look into
it's
that
It's worth
one.
Seeing, I think.
Yeah, I just watched Babadook. Is it Babadook? That's how you say it?
Well,
Babadook or...
From their accent, they say the Babadook.
Yeah, Babadook. And then I just
watched...
Because
he's like, duck, duck.
Yeah. That's creepy. And that book, the book that she finds...
I love the book. I think they made one.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Comes with the DVD.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't like that as much. I want to work to get the book.
And I just
what about It Follows? Did you see that one?
No, I haven't seen that one.
That's like the other great like horror movie that came out this year.
Yeah, and I heard a lot of great things about that.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that I watched last night was pretty great. It's on Netflix right now. It's called A Girl Walks Home.
Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Alone
I've been
at
meaning
night,
to see that.
Very good. Not super scary.
No, well, neither is It Follows. It's very it's pretty arty, actually.
Really?
I like the ones that aren't as like overtly scary and are more just like spooky.
Yeah.
Like I love Let the Right One In.
Yes. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen the American version of that.
I haven't either, and I probably won't.
Yeah, I don't think
it's based on a book, Let the Right One In.
Really?
Yeah. And apparently like a big concept of the book is that the I guess they address this in the movie, but only very slightly, and I wouldn't have known to look for it had I not read about the book.
Uh-huh.
But what's the vampire's name? I can't remember.
I don't know.
They're actually a castrated boy. And that's like a big plot point in the book.
But isn't the... Okay.
And it's sort of addressed in the movie in that we see that like there's a scar and I think it's a she in the movie.
Right,
she covers the scar. But they don't address at all that... so it's the book is actually sort of like a queer romance, like vampire kids thing. And that's
makes
not
sense.
They kind of leave that out of the both versions of the movie.
Right, right.
I think like in the now I can't remember, was that a Swedish movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they have the scar in that one, but in the American one it's just like that's a straight up girl.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Also what's crazy about that movie is they used a different voice actress for the child than the actual. So it's a different person voicing her than
right, but they used the same actress in the American version, didn't they? I seem to remember hearing something like that.
They didn't use the same actress from the Swedish thing.
Oh, they didn't.
But
okay.
What I'm saying in the original movie, the actress who's playing that kid, there's one actress playing all the visual stuff.
Gotcha.
And they got someone with like a deeper voice to do the voiceovers.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So that contributes to like the disembodied spooky thing.
Gotcha.
It's cool.
Gotcha.
Cool movie.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us.
Cursed for a lifetime.
So let's switch gears, and I apologize for the sound in the background. We are in a green room that's right next to the stage here at Barboza in Capitol Hill, Seattle, talking with Sadie Dupuy of the band Speedy Ortiz, whose album, current album, Foil Deer, is out right now. Sadie, where can people find the album around the country?
Preferably in your local record store.
There you go.
It's on all the internet crap too.
Yeah. Where would you prefer that people get it though?
Their local record store.
Yeah. Not at shows? Come to the shows, right?
I mean,
you guys are on tour.
We're
right
in business,
now.
Like, but your local record store may not be if you don't continue to support
them. That's
true.
See, we here in Seattle, we kind of live in a bubble. And I don't know what you see in the rest of the country, but record stores do all right over here.
That's what you think, and then your favorite one's going to close.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, God damn it, why didn't I just buy things there instead of pre-orders from, like, iTunes?
That's true. That's true.
So I'm throwing shade on iTunes. And
you got it.
It's fine. iTunes isn't listening.
They might be. They could be. So, Sadie, when did you start to pick up musical instruments? When was the first time?
I played piano when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
So, and
you were in choir, right?
I was in choirs for a long time.
Yeah. Did it like kind of competitively? I understand.
Well, it wasn't
right?
like a. It, I mean, there are like competition choirs.
Okay.
And I would do that for like the states have them, or they have like, I don't know if you are familiar
like you
with the
say,
world of like high school band and chorus geeks, but they do have like state assembled choirs that are audition based, and they get like theoretically like the best kid from every high school to be part of. And
sure.
So I did do that on the side, but the serious one was just like a professional choir that toured and.
Yeah, that's amazing, and you got that. You got like touring experience when you were.
I know
a young
it was very
child.
Different though. We were on like a bus. And
oh sure.
Yeah.
So you said you basically picked up a guitar at the age of 13.
Yep.
Right.
You really did read up. Whoa.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And I noticed that in most pictures of you, because I've never seen you guys live, you're all playing Fender instruments.
It's true. Well, not Devin, I don't think, plays a Fender.
Oh, no?
I don't know what he plays. He plays different... An Epiphone now?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Thank you, guys. Devin, fact checker.
Odd man out. Odd man out.
That's what he gets for leaving the interview. He's got some different guitars, too. Yeah.
But are you a Fender woman through and through?
Yeah. Well, no, I have other guitars, but that's
what you tour with.
Comfortable with, I guess.
Are there any instruments that you don't take on tour? Like, are there any like sacred ones that?
I don't. The Jazzmaster that I usually tour with, I don't want to take out anymore because it's like my favorite one, and I'm just too afraid it's gonna.
Man,
go
you
away.
Hear all these stories, like, you know, bands are getting ripped off left and right.
Yeah, it's happened to me before, and that Jazzmaster has been stolen before.
What?
And I got it back.
How did you get it back?
I just immediately called every music store with serial numbers and photos.
Really?
And someone tried to sell it, and they, you know, took
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing that
so
you got
I've,
it back.
So I've been playing mostly the Strat on this tour, and I brought the Jazzmaster as a backup.
Yeah.
But, I would prefer not to.
That's my dream guitar, by the way, is
what?
The Fender Jazzmaster.
Jazzmaster?
Yeah.
I like my Jazzmaster a lot. It's been fun. It's like my primary guitar, for sure.
Yeah.
But I've been playing this. The Strat I have is really nice, and I never play it anymore. So it's been kind of nice to spend a little time on that one.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I have kind of a shitty Strat.
This one's like a 1981 American one. It's pretty solid.
Sounds
good.
And I take
plays
it
really well.
The Jazzmaster is a vintage reissue.
It's 93 Japanese.
Oh, it's a Japanese.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are good.
Apparently, at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a whole wall of vintage Fenders. I'm not trying to brag.
Cool.
But I've got a 64 Jaguar.
Nice.
That is my main go to right
one.
Now,
That's
which
a
is
cool one.
Amazing.
What color?
Sunburst.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, man. Tobacco burst. You know, and And there's something, I don't know what it is, but there's something about like the paint peeling off of these instruments that just like gets me every time. Like it could sound like shit, but it would look so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, all my guitars are kind of fucked up from, I don't like treat them especially well.
Sure.
I'm not like a collector really. So anything I own, I'm like playing shows with.
Yeah.
And which means I'm like hitting the drums with them. And
yeah.
So, yeah, I've fucked up Jazzmaster quite a few times.
That's a solid guitar, though,
man. In earlier days
when
I used to get drunk to play.
Like, yeah.
I would just throw it and, like, things would break off and I'd have to... Now I'm getting older, taking better care of things.
Well, it costs money to repair, right?
That's true. Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Did you used to have to drink before you played a show?
Yeah. I might actually tonight.
Yeah? Are you nervous? Is it nerves?
No, but they have gluten-free beer.
Uh-huh.
And that's a good thing for me.
Sorry. Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
Handing Mike his carrots and his hummus because I'm sitting right in front of the refrigerator like a dummy.
No, that's great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sorry.
No, not at all, man. It'll all get edited out. That's the beauty of pre-recording things.
Gin and tonic?
So I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. So was it a nerves thing when you were drinking before a show, or is it just kind of a fun thing being young?
Combo deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever get nervous?
I don't know. I get unhappy. It's different. Yeah.
Did that question just make you unhappy?
Yeah.
It did?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm happy. I have a lot of friends coming to the show.
Good deal.
Donuts are coming to the show.
Awesome. Awesome.
How can I be unhappy?
So where do you guys go from here? What's the next
Salt
stop?
Lake City? Salt Lake City.
It's
in
a long
days.
Drive.
It's only 12 hours.
Only 12 hours?
Only 12.
It's a long fucking drive for me.
We have
man.
A day off tomorrow, so.
Yeah? Well, that's good. And you guys are staying in Seattle tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Yeah. Well, that's good. Yep. That's great. So you get a little time off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Seattle's cool.
And how's the rest of the tour been going?
Excellent.
Yeah?
Yes.
Good shows?
Yeah, it's been fun.
Good crowds?
Good bands that we're playing with?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Have you been touring with the same band throughout this
thing? Called Krill opened the first half of the tour.
Okay.
And Alex G is doing the second half of it.
Yeah.
And occasionally we'll have like the same band as like the first of three for a few days in a row.
Yeah.
Like Broken Water is doing a few shows with us who are playing right now.
Awesome.
This band Pale Hound is coming on with us in a few days. So
that's great.
Yeah.
And are these people you know? Like, do you guys try to tour with like bands that you know and are
exclusively
comfortable with? That's great, man. That's cool that you can do that.
No new friends. Two Inch Astronaut played some of the tour. Mitski played some of the tour.
Yeah.
Ex Breathers. Is that it? Yeah.
Well, that's great. That's great. And you guys are happy. I get the sense that you're very happy with how things are going with Speedy Ortiz right now.
I mean, look at all that hummus. How could you not be happy?
Yeah, yeah. Look at the... I mean, your writer has salsa and gluten-free beer and
we don't usually get the gluten-free beer. That's exciting. I think they got an old writer because I kind of like stopped drinking and took booze off. I mean, everybody else drinks, but I shouldn't drink wheat or eat wheat.
Uh-huh.
So I put gluten-free beer on the rider and then took it off because I stopped drinking.
Uh-huh.
But now I'll have, like, one beer sometimes.
You had a beer night if you messed it up.
What?
We're having fun.
When was my beer night?
I don't remember.
You're on the wagon.
Yeah, I was on the wagon.
You gotta stick with, like, gin and tonics or something like that.
But gluten-free beer is great.
So are you more beer? You're more of a beer person.
Yeah,
than,
I love beer,
like,
but I can't really have wheat.
Hard alcohol
because I'm allergic to it.
Yeah,
and I've been bad and I've been having wheat on this tour, and I've had a sore throat for like the whole time. This is very boring now. I don't know why we've returned to the health
not at all.
Issues. But
come on,
yeah, hippie shit, gluten free beer. That's good.
So I wanted to ask you. I wanted to ask you one more thing. I know you guys probably want to get me out of here. So, but with your background in math, right? You went to MIT to study mathematics.
True.
Right. Your style of guitar playing seems very
math rock.
I wouldn't even use math rock, but I would say it's very pattern oriented.
Okay.
Okay. For lack of a better term, I don't really know how to put it, but you get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Do you think that comes from being a fan of math and figuring out patterns in numbers and things like that?
I think a lot of people who play music are naturally inclined towards math. I feel like I remember reading this at some point. I don't know. I don't have an answer.
Some scientific paper.
I will say that like everyone I knew at MIT was like the first chair of whatever their instrument was in high school.
Yeah.
All those people were like crazy musicians. And I was in the music... I was double majoring, and I was in the music department as well.
You were in the
music. I started as music and math, and then I switched to writing, which is weird. Like a bachelor's of science in writing.
At MIT, you switched
to writing?
Yeah,
I did a year
writing?
Math, and then a year writing, and then I transferred. Dropped out and then transferred.
Yeah.
But like everybody there was a crazy musician, and I don't know.
I guess it makes
sense. I think there's some sort of correlation between like the kind of study that's required to be.
Right.
Which is not to say that all musicians need to be like trained or proficient, and usually the ones I like are not at all. But a lot of the like super excellent engineers there were also like incredibly trained musicians.
Yeah.
So.
Did that have the tendency to kind of kill the love of music a little bit though? Like,
no,
you know,
I don't know
trying
why.
To go like you know,
it shouldn't
turning it into an equation, almost.
I mean, I don't know if I thought of it that way.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, if you're reading music, like you're looking at graphs and charts, it's basically the same part of your brain, and I've read music since I was a kid, so
okay.
I never thought of it as like, oh no, this training is like killing my love of music. It's like, oh cool, like I'm learning more about this thing that I like and how to understand it better.
Well, that's great. Well, Sadie, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. Mike, thanks for chiming in on Ghosts, man. I'm super interested about going on like a ghost hunt in Connecticut now.
You should go to Dudleytown. I've been a bunch of times. It's great.
I don't want to get arrested,
but you have to go
there.
There's like a ski range nearby. Yeah. You can park there and like hike a few miles.
Yeah.
And you can get into Dudleytown that way.
Get into like a dead snow situation.
There's only certain times of year you're allowed to go. From like early October to the end of the year, that's when they really patrol it, because that's when like the Satanists come. I'm not even kidding.
No, I believe you.
There have been a number of occasions where I've accidentally gone into Dudleytown just because I got lost in like, it's a really rural backroadsy area. And on the way back down like the mountain, cops were like coming up because they know what cars are allowed to live on these like mountain roads.
Oh, so people actually do live up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they all are part of an agency called the Dark Forest Association, which is creepy as fuck.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And the road, DFA, yeah. and the roads are all called Dark Forest Entry.
Wow.
And the last time that people really lived in Dudleytown, I don't know if you've read about this history.
No, not much.
It was a bunch of wealthy doctors, and I think Horace Greeley was there as well.
Who's for that name sounds
like Go
very
West
familiar.
Young man?
I don't know.
He was like a politician 20s.
Okay.
And Manifest Destiny's like, I don't know. It's like, I guess he's the 1800s, late 1800s. But he lived there later in his life, and his wife like committed suicide there, and then everyone moved away. And
oh, wow.
Nobody's lived in the actual township part of it since the very early 20th century.
But it's still standing?
But the families have the houses surrounding the property, and they don't want anyone going in there, obviously, because like curious Satanists from around the world like make this their destination.
Yeah, yeah.
So around the month surrounding Halloween is when they're really on you about trespassing.
Oh my god!
But if you go in the spring, like right now, nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
You can
basically becomes a pilgrimage for a bunch of crazy people.
Because the Warrens said like this is the most haunted place on
earth. Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Thank God for the Warrens.
Yeah.
All right, Sadie. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks.
All right, I think that went well. Sadie, what a sweetheart. What a fantastic human. Once again, you can catch them on tour. Speedy Ortiz on tour right now. Let's see, tonight, Columbia, Missouri, Rose Music Hall. Let's see, tomorrow, June 2nd, Firebird in St. Louis, Missouri. UFO Factory on June 4th in Detroit, Michigan. Horseshoe Tavern. Jesus, why can't I talk? Horseshoe Tavern, Toronto, Canada, June 5th, and so on and so forth. So check these guys out, okay? Speedy Ortiz, new favorite band, man. I hope they are yours as well. Oh, my God. We got a lot of great stuff coming up this month, people. This month of June. Welcome to summer. Oh, my God. A lot of great things coming up. So keep your eyes peeled. You can subscribe to Air Raid on iTunes. And if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. Always comes in handy. Only take you a couple seconds just to give us a little star rating right there. We're also available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, and Cairo Radio apps. Or just visit www.air-raid.net to subscribe directly to our RSS feed. You can also find the Archives tab right there and click on that and listen to all 251 episodes with comedians like, Scott Aukerman, Mike Birbiglia, Aisha Tyler, Eddie Pepitone, Duncan Trussell. How about musicians like Chris Walla from Death Cab for Cutie, Mike McCready from Pearl Jam, Mudhoney, Sebado, The Melvins. Yeah, that's right, The Melvins, man. Yeah, all right there on this show. Deep Sea Diver, Taco Cat, man. Oh, my God, Shelby Earle. Yeah, yeah. More of that, please. Yes, sir. All right there at the Archives tab. Keep in touch with us by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheAirRaid Podcast. Our Twitter handle is @AirRaidNet, or email me directly at aaron@air-raid.net. Remember to take the pledge to tell somebody about the show. Bring it up in conversation. Subscribe them unknowingly. All right? That'll work. Here's your inspirational quote of the week, as said by a 4-year-old.
A strong, positive self-image is the best possible preparation for success.
Oh, that was a tricky one.
That was a tricky one, huh? All right, we're going to go out this week, folks, with the song My Dead Girl by Speedy Ortiz off of the latest album, Foil Deer. Thank you so much for listening. We had a great time this week. I hope you guys did too. I hope you enjoyed it. Spread it around. Like we said, take that pledge, man. Pledge to tell somebody about the Air Raid podcast, okay? All right, we'll be back next week with a whole new episode for your ears. It's going to be fantastic. Hope you guys tune in. And hope you guys have a great week. See ya. Better you fake the truth. I tried to buy an aluminum toy from the booth outside the dojo with a $10 coin from your old drawer.